This morning, and as the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to me this morning as I was just reading in my Bible, had an idea of what I was going to talk about today, but don't you know that the Lord does what He wants in our lives? And this is what we're going to talk about today. So today what I want to do is I want to talk to you about a story. How many of you guys like stories? All right. I'm a story fan myself. I think that there's just something in telling a story. There's just something in communicating and witnessing a good story. And you know, we call them, oh man, the kids of our generation are destroying this wonderful word, epic. But those epic battles, you know, those epic stories you see, I mean, you know, anything's epic nowadays. You get a soda out of a soda machine and it was epic. But, you know, I'm thinking of like the real epic, you know, those stories that you just never forget, the ones that leave an impression on you. Well, today I want to talk to you about one of the most interesting stories, the most unique stories ever told. As a matter of fact, the story has not yet been finished. It's an ever-evolving story. As a matter of fact, there are some 7 billion different translations of this story. This is the story of your life. Because don't you know that your life tells a story? Everything that you and I do is a story. Everything that you and I do affects somebody around us, does something we talked so long ago, it seems, about being people of influence. And there is a story to be told in our lives. And so today what I want to do is I want to talk about the story of your life. So that would be the title of tonight's message. So if you've got your Bibles open to Philippians in the first chapter, this is the exhortation of Paul the Apostle as he's writing to the church. And you kind of pick up here mid-thought, but basically Paul the Apostle is exhorting the church at Philippi, and he says that he thanks God for them, and he makes requests for them in his prayers when he thinks about them, and then he comes upon them. And he says, verse number 6 in the first chapter, he says, being confident of this very thing, what I was talking about, he was talking about that the fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, basically that they have been in one body, one likeness until this point. And he says, being confident of this thing, that I've made my prayers for you. He, speaking of Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul the Apostle, just in his exhortation out of this one verse, I want to talk to you about the story of your life. Each and every one of us tell a different story. No story is the same. No story has the exact same things. There are similarities between story to story. And you can see that as people live their life, we tend to follow each other. You've heard the term, history repeats itself. But our stories are individual. Our stories are all unique. And so today I want to talk to you about a story, talking about Jesus Christ out of Philippians, the first chapter in the 6th verse. Paul the Apostle says, Jesus Christ is the one who began a work in you. He was the one that started something in you, and He is the one that will complete something in you. Every story has three parts to it. Now this is like grammar 101, but let me share it with you, because Pastor Joey spoke with you last week about mathematics 101. So hey, listen, if you didn't graduate from high school, come to Shift long enough and you may get the equivalent education. All right, here we go. There are three parts to a story. We know this. There's a beginning. Hello. There's a middle. All right. And there's an end. If you were like me in high school, when you had to read a book or do a book report, you read the beginning, skipped through the middle, and read the end. So we see it in here in Philippians first chapter that Jesus Christ is involved in the beginning and the end. The matter of fact is that Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit is involved in all three parts of the story. You know, I was just reading an article. How many guys have been excited or are excited to see or have seen? If you have seen, I don't want to know about it other than just maybe a holler or a hoot. The final installment of the epic comic book series Batman. Anybody seen it yet? Has anybody? Are you diehards? Wow, look at you guys in the back. That's why you're in the back, because you're sleepy. All right. I was reading this morning about Christopher Nolan, the director, and he was saying that that the movie industry has lost the art of telling a story, and that he enjoys the fact that, you know, in this is the last installment, there will be no more from him, that he gets to tell a story that has a beginning, that has a middle, and that has an end. A good story has all three. So, the beginning for you and I is obviously the physical birth. Hello. Mommy and daddy got together. Mommy went to the hospital, hopefully. Maybe she didn't go to the hospital. I don't know. I mean, some of you who are on the older age, you know, maybe mom didn't make it to the hospital. Whatever. You were born. That was the beginning of your story. But you know, there was another birth. There was your spiritual birth, the moment when you came to Jesus Christ, the moment when Jesus called upon you and you responded to that. You say, Pastor Luke, I haven't yet done that. Don't worry. We'll give you the opportunity today to begin your story. But there's a beginning. There's a physical beginning, and then there's a spiritual beginning. You guys with me on that? Ephesians, the second chapter. I won't have you turn there because we got a lot to cover. But Ephesians, the second chapter says, and you he made alive. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Speaking of our spiritual beginning. You and I were once dead, once did not exist. In the spiritual life, we were dead, but now all of a sudden, Jesus Christ came upon us, and he has made us alive. Now we are beginning. We are alive. We are at the beginning of our story. Now we come from the beginning of our story to the middle. The middle is how you and I live our lives. Quickly, I'll pop this up on the overhead as well. In Romans, the 13th chapter, if you ever want to be convicted about yourself, read Romans, the 13th chapter. You could also read Romans, the 1st and 2nd chapter, and be very convicted about the world. Wow. All right. In Romans, the 13th chapter, we see about the middle of our lives, how we live our lives. Paul the Apostle says, and do this knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, talking about, remember, we just woken up out of sleep, that he has made us alive. And now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So now that we are in the middle of our lives, now that we are in the middle section of our story, our salvation, the time of an end, the time that draws closer, that we draw closer to the end, is nearer than it has ever been. I was reading a book and somebody put in an interesting fact is the moment that you come out of your mother's womb is the moment that your body starts to die. From that moment, from the moment you were independent of your mother's nutrition, you had that umbilical cord cut, or it fell off, or whatever it was, that is the moment that your body, yes, even though you grow, that is the moment that your body, the internal clock, began to tick. And here Paul the Apostle says that the time is now. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry, in drunkenness, in lewdness, and lust, and in strife, and in envy, but put on, verse number 14 says, the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Last week, Pastor Joey was talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about Jesus Christ, about wearing it. He's talking about the example of his clothes. Hey, I wasn't here, but listen, I listened to it. And he said his clothes follow him wherever he goes, into the bathroom, into the kitchen, wherever it may be. He says, put on Jesus Christ. You don't wear Jesus Christ when it's convenient. When you have Jesus Christ, when you are in the middle of your story, you need to understand that, listen, if you're wearing Jesus Christ, he goes wherever you go, including the bathroom. Unfortunately, that's an illustration that maybe we don't want to know, but hey, God knows. God sees, but he created us to do that as well. Philippians, the first chapter, verse number 6, brings us to the last part, the first verse of our message today, that we are at the end. There's an end of our lives. That's the death. That's when you and I cease to exist, when our bodies no longer breathe, when our hearts no longer pump blood. But that's also the beginning of another story, the beginning of our eternal spiritual life. And again, we see in Philippians, the first chapter, that God, Jesus, who has begun a good work, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ means that basically you and I will cease to exist, we'll die, or we will be blessed in the time that we get to live when Jesus Christ returns home and he comes to us and he calls us home to him. So there's one of two options in our lives that end our stories. One, we die, or two, we are a blessed generation that we get to see the return of the Lord. Either way, we need to live with the end in sight. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk to you about some things that the Lord shared to me about the story of your life. Some basic principles, some basic thoughts on understanding, you know what? Our life is a story. People read our story. As a matter of fact, let me read a quote to you. I think we'll have it up on the overhead, but let me read a quote to you by a man by the name of D.L. Moody. This is quote number one for those of you who are doing it on the PowerPoint back there. It says, 1 out of 100 people will read the Bible. The other 99 will read the Christian. 1 out of 100 people will read the Bible. The other 99 will read the Christian. You and I have a story to tell. And you may say, well, I don't know if anybody's reading my story. I don't know if anybody's paying attention to my story. But understand this, that there are more people in your life than you think are reading your story. There are more people involved in your story than you realize. And we have got to live a life with the understanding that we are speaking more than just, okay, well, the Word of God says this, and that's what I'm going to say I believe, but rather to live, to act, to go about our lives with the understanding that we are telling a story with our actions, with our responses, whatever it is, with our daily lives. So I want to give you some things about, some thoughts about the story of your life. Are you guys with me today? Are we all right? Can we do this? Yeah? All right? Okay? Yeah? Yes? No? Yes? No? Can we do this? Yes? 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 No? Okay. All right. Some of you guys are like, what? Never mind. Don't worry about it. I like quirky comedy movies. All right. You guys want some cookies? Never mind. All right. Number one, we're talking about the story of your life. You're like, Pastor Luke, I don't get it. Don't worry about it. Inside joke with me, myself, and I. All right. Number one for tonight, we're talking about the story of your life. I want you to understand this. Some things that if you grab a hold of these ideas, you grab a hold of these concepts, I believe that they will affect and help you to be an effective storyteller in your own life. Are you guys ready for number one? Number one is this. God is the author. You are the pen. A lot of times we say, oh, but I'm the paper. Okay, fine. God is the author and you're the paper. Whatever. God is the author and you're the pen. You know, a lot of times in our lives, a lot of times in our stories, a lot of times when we think about this, we reverse those roles. And we say, well, I am the author. I am the author of my own destiny. You know, I was remembering there was a Heath Ledger movie. God, I'm talking about stories, so all these movies pop into my head. There was a certain Heath Ledger movie that was incredibly cheesy about being a knight. And I remember his father told him, you know, can a man change his stars? And his father would always tell him, yes, a man can change his stars, the stars being his destiny. So we say, we grow up in our lives and the social norm of our lives, what our parents tell us, what our schools tell us is, you know what? You and I are in control of our destiny. You and I can write our own, we are the authors of our own lives. And let me tell you something, when you and I do not have God in our lives, you and I are the authors of our lives. But have you ever seen what we refer to in the film industry? Not that I am a member of the film industry, but have you ever seen, or maybe you have, as a matter of fact, I watched a movie the other day and I couldn't even finish it. It's called a B movie. You ever seen a B movie? You know what I'm talking about when I say a B movie? Jamal says he doesn't know what a B movie is. A B movie is this. An A movie is like, Jamal, man, how do you not know? Oh, man, Jamal. All right, a B movie is this. When you see a good movie, like, okay, let's say, I don't know, this is subjective, I guess, but like, okay, Pastor Luke likes Gladiator, Russell Crowe, you know, man, I'll tell you what, you know, what is his name, Martin Harris, or, I don't know, anyways, good movie. Okay, we can call that one an epic movie, all right? That's an A movie. Good movie, man. You see it, you say, man, you finish watching that movie, like, that was a good movie. Then you see a B movie, or maybe even a C movie. Heaven forbid you see a D movie, but a B movie is this. It's one of those movies, you know, maybe you've seen the commercial. So good, it went straight to DVD. Couldn't wait to get it in your hands. A B movie is one of those movies that you've seen it, man. They tried. Oh, boy, did they try. You know, there's movies, they stack it with these famous actors. And there's. I remember in the beginning of the year, there was this one movie. I never saw it, but there was this one movie. And it had a list of like 30 actors that were all huge. Just, I mean, like, wow. And you think, with this many big shots, this has got to be like the bomb movie. And the ratings, like the Rotten Tomatoes ratings were like 10%. Because let me tell you something, when you and I don't allow God to be the author of our lives, you and I write a B movie. The story of our lives is not that interesting. The story of our lives is we're born, we live, we get a job, we do whatever we do, we die. It's the bottom line. When you and I have the understanding that our lives tell a story, that our lives are a continual evolving story, we have the understanding, we have the mentality in our lives that God is the author, but we are the pen that changes things. And why does that change things? Well, let me say something. God is the author. God is the one that is dictating, saying, this is the story that I have for you. But let me tell you something. If the pen doesn't touch the paper, the story isn't written. So that's why I say you and I are the pen. Because we are not marionette puppets. You guys understand what a Jamal, do you know what a marionette puppet is? Okay, you know what I'm talking about there? All right, yes, you work in the children's church, so maybe I should ask somebody else. Marionette puppet is like a Pinocchio. You guys remember Pinocchio, the puppets that, you know, they do the little, with the strings on them? Well, you and I are not marionette puppets where God has strings from heaven, and he moves things around, and he moves his little things and makes us talk. That is not how we live.
Rather, though, God is the author. God is the one who tells us, this is my will, this is my desire, this is my plan for you. You and I are the pen. There are no strings attached from us and the author. You and I can choose then to write our destiny, to write out our story. We can be obedient to God and follow what the author says and to follow the author's story, the original design. Or you and I can take whatever we want and follow and go down a rabbit trail here or there and do whatever we want and write our own story. You know, the book of Hebrews in the 12th chapter, you don't have to turn there. I'll have you turn to some other places in a minute. As a matter of fact, while we're going to Hebrews, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, talks about there's a great cloud of witnesses. So let us set aside the things that would ensnare us in our lives and run the race. Then he goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, that God himself, is the author of our faith. He's the author of our lives. We see that scripturally. Now let me see this to you. You were turning in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew in the 7th chapter, verse number 24, says this. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, right off the bat, we see something. I want you to get this. Here's the author and here's the pen. Okay? Here's the author and here's the pen. Imagine this, okay? Get this, all right? Get this in your visual illustration, all right? Think back to like back in the old days. Let's get a guy like Steven Spielberg, all right? And they're in this office and there's papers everywhere and there's filing cabinets in the background. And just for the sake of telling a story, it's like back in the 40s and he's got like that, you know, that hat called, you know, they used to wear back in the day, in a long overcoat, like, you know, the detective movies. And he's pacing around and he's got his eyes closed and he's thinking. And then there's another guy and he's sitting at a desk with a typewriter, because this is back in the day. Remember, I'm saying we're telling a story, so get this in your head. There's a guy sitting at a desk with a typewriter. You know, that kind of goes, ching, and he's got those little things that go around his arm, those little like elastic waistbands to keep his sleeves from, you know, staying out of the way. Okay, so he's here, he's telling a story. And so you get this imagination of this guy, he's telling a story, and he's like, okay, chapter one, here we go. Blah, 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 and he's dictating the story. He's dictating, he says, okay, and then here's a character, and we're gonna establish it. And the opening shot is, and he's got his eyes closed because he's imagining it, all right, and he's going, and the guy's just going crazy, you know, at the desk, and he's just, what was that? Okay, and they're typing a story. So you and I are the pen, you and I are the typewriter, and here's God saying, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him, he goes on to say, I will liken him to a wise man. Don't you want to be likened to a wise man? I do. Who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But, he gives a contrast, he who hears these sayings of mine and does not do that, going back to that illustration, now let's imagine, here's a producer and he's spitting it out and he's just going so fast. The guy on the typewriter, he's going so fast and it's an old typewriter and it got jammed and the guy's just walking around with his eyes closed and the guy doesn't say anything, he can't tell him, what did he just say? And he starts to make up, okay, I think he said this and I think he said that, and he starts to write what he think he said and he starts to write what it sounded like this, and he begins to mix up the words here and there and this and that. And he begins to tell his own story because he lost track of he who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. Listen to what he says. I will equate him, I will liken him to be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So you and I need to understand that God is the author. God is there. He's dictating his will to us through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit that ministers to us, church. Understand this, young adults, that God has a plan for each and every one of us. You say, Pastor Luke, I don't think God's got a plan for you. Bullcorn! He's got a plan for you. God's got a plan, and he's dictating. He's saying, listen to my words. Listen to my teachings. Listen to my writings. Grab a hold of it. Get your pen. Get your typewriter. Get your computer. Bust out your iPad. Whatever it is. And start typing. Start living. Start acting. Start doing the story as though I, the creator of the heavens and earth, have designed for you. Because if you deviate, you write it as you go, you don't have a plan for your life. Let me tell you something. You're writing a B-movie. You're writing a C movie. You're writing a story that's going to be so good it went straight to DVD. It's going to be so good that it went right past DVD and went straight to VHS. So you got to remember, guys, that God is the author. You and I are the pen. You and I are the one that enacts, that one that writes it out, the one that does life. You know, when you tell a story, it can change when somebody speaks it. If you've ever heard of campfire stories, they change. It's called a telephone game. Somebody tells it, and then the next time, oh, I'm going to add this. I know I'm going to add this. The story is moving around, and it's never solid. When you write the story down, doesn't matter who reads it, the story stays the same. So you and I have got to be the pens that write the story of God down in our lives so that when somebody sees us, like D.L. Moody's quote said to us, that they see the same story. That somebody over here doesn't see something over here, and then somebody over here doesn't see a different story in our lives, but because we have written it down, because you and I are the pen, the typewriter, the iPad, the computer, the word processor, whatever it is, that the story remains the same to all who see it. Are you guys with me today? Am I going deep? Is this deep? I don't know. You tell me. All right, we're talking about some thoughts on the story of our lives. This is a long point, so I'm going to leave it up there for a while because I tried to shorten it. I did. Man, I tried to shorten the wording, but I just couldn't do it. So here we go, number two. As the plot progresses, yesterday's chapters don't have to determine the end. You guys know what the plot is? The plot is the storyline. It's the base. It's the heart. It's the veins. It's the whole story. It's it. It's the beginning. It's the beginning, the middle, the end. And as your story progresses, you and I have got to understand that yesterday's chapters do not have to dictate the end of the story. Now, you've seen that in novels. You've seen that in those epic movies where... Maybe, you know, I think of a trilogy about a certain small, I don't know, small being, a hobbit, and these other nastiness things called orcs and men and all this. And the first movie was like, wow, here's a good in the world. The second movie stunk, man. The second movie was tough to watch. Why? Because it was like the negative. It was like, there's no hope. There's no desire. We should just give up. We should forget about it. If you don't know what movie I'm talking about, I'm talking about Lord of the Rings. Okay. You're like, oh, okay, I got you now, all right. Then the third movie comes on, and the beginning, again, it's bad, it's hard, the man has no hope, but there's a kindling, there's a fire within them, there's just a little spark. And at the end of the movie, remember, everybody comes together, everything happens, this great, mighty, epic battle. Look, there's that word. I got to stop saying that word. I'm going to be like the 10-year-olds, all right. There's this battle, and men triumph because you have faced defeat in your lives. Guys, because you have made bad decisions in your pasts, because you have done stupid things. Hello, we have all done stupid things. You know, I praise God that the Word of God talks. Paul the Apostle, the great Saint Paul, says that he is chief of sinners. Woo, praise God. That means that he realizes well that, you know what, we make mistakes. And that God doesn't call us when we're perfect. God calls us where we're at to live a story after him, to design us, to follow him, to work on us as we are, to build us into who he has called us to be. So I need you, I want you to understand that as you leave this place today, that the decisions, that the chapters of your life, yesterday's chapters, the chapters of 10 years ago, you made a stupid decision, you slept with that guy. You did this or you did that. Doesn't matter, guys. The chapters of yesterday don't have to affect the ending of the book. Because let me tell you something. As long as there's breath in your lungs, as long as there's a beat in your heart, there's still potential for your future. That you cannot say right now that today is the end, because it's not. Because otherwise, you're going to start writing a part two. And you know, the sequel's never as good as the first part. So you don't ever want to do that in stories. A beginning, a middle, and an end. So don't let the end come early for you. Realize that yesterday's decisions don't determine tomorrow. If you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke in the 15th chapter. Luke in the 15th chapter. This is a well-known parable, but you know who was a good storyteller? Jesus Christ was a good storyteller. He used stories to illustrate to people. And here in Luke, the 15th chapter, there's a story that we probably, if you've grown up in church at all, if you've ever been in church, if you've ever been in children's church or whatever, you saw that little green felt board back in the day when people like Jamal would tell a story. Because Jamal works in the children's church. You're like, man, why are you picking on Jamal? Because I can. Because I'm up here, he's down there. All right. There's a young man there's an old man that has two sons, a younger son and an older son. And the younger son decides, well, you know what? I'm going to go do my thing. I'm going to collect my inheritance. I'm going to cash out. I'm going to go live my life, do my thing. So the young man goes to his father and he says, Dad, it is time for me. See, oh, look at that. My timer's already done. Oh, I am lame. It is time for me to cash out. So he cashes out on his inheritance. You know the story. He goes and lives a lavacious lifestyle. He does whatever he wants to do. Spends all his money on gambling, on prostitution, on drinking, on drugs, whatever it is, okay? And now all of a sudden he finds himself broke. He finds himself alone. All of the friends that he had when he had money, all the friends that he had when he had success are gone. And he finds himself sleeping and living with pigs. You guys know the story. And he's eating out of the pigs' food. This is a story that Jesus tells us. And he says, he comes to himself, the word of God says that the young man comes to himself. And he says, man, the servants of my father's house have lived better than this. So what I should do is pick myself up and go to my dad's house and say, Dad, I am unworthy to be your son, but at least hire me as a servant because the life I'm living right now just stinks. So he picks himself up, he gathers himself, he takes a bath in the muddy water to get all that pig stench off of him. And he goes home. The Bible tells us in Luke 15 chapter that he sees and his father sees him from afar off and his father drops what he's doing and he runs and hugs him around the neck, puts a ring on his finger. And in verse number 21, we read, Jesus telling the story, and he says, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He says, Dad, in the story of my life, the end, which I should have been, is no longer applicable. Now I am something else. And the father says to him, verse number 22, but his father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring out the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. Verse number 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. The prodigal son came back and he said, Dad, the outcome of my story should now be that I should be a servant. I've missed it. I've lost it. You might say, God, I've made too many mistakes for you to accept me, for you to take me back. I've messed up too many different times. I've done too many stupid things. So, Lord, now the outcall of me is, Lord, I would just ask that I could eat the crumbs from your bread. But like the prodigal son, the example, this is the example of you and I to God, comes and hugs us around the neck and says, no, you need to understand that yesterday's chapters don't affect the outcome of the story. And that you and I can be restored in the eyes of God. You and I can be brought to a place of where God wants us to be. But I need you to understand something. Understand the attitude behind this. Are you with me? You guys here, I need you to get this. The prodigal son didn't decide, you know what, man, this is bunk. My money's gone. Here I am. I'm living in the pig's den. I'm going to go home because my dad's a sucker and he's going to take me back. You say, man, that's harsh. You know, a lot of times us young people, a lot of times us old people, a lot of times us humans in general, guys, we treat God like that. Oh, you know what, man, I'm a mess up, but God's a sucker. He'll take me. I just got to confess my sins. And you know what? It's deeper than that. The son had a genuine attitude. He said, you know what? My story's over. I feel like I've got nothing left, so let me just go and beg to be a servant. He came back with a repentive attitude. He came back humbled by himself. Pastor Joe taught a great message about being humble. He came back with humility and said, God, Dad, it's no longer about the last name I bear. It's no longer that. And the father said, well, you know, you're dead, but now you're alive. You were lost, but now you're found. You and I have got to have the attitude to understand that, you know what, even though the yesterday's chapters may not affect our outcome, you and I have got to have the attitude that God is in control and that we've got to humble ourselves and submit to God. And allow him to change the following chapter so that the plot may thicken and that you and I may have an impacted story. Are you with me? Are you still here? All right, last one. Can we do one more? Okay. Talking about the story of your life. Number three.
Numero tres.
Strive to leave a legacy behind that will inspire generations. That's another mouthful. Because I don't want you to say, oh yeah, write a good story. I could just say that. Number three, have a good story. No. I don't want your story. You don't want your story to say, oh man, yeah, man, when you have kids someday, be like, yeah, that's my mom, that's my dad. They bury you and there's a tombstone, it's all pretty, and they bring you flowers once a year on your anniversary of your death or whatever it might be, and then all of a sudden in 10, 15 years they forgot, oh, I haven't been there in a couple of years, and then in 20 years nobody's there, and in 30 years, you know, the mortuary, they didn't tell nobody, and they ripped your tombstone out and took your grave out and they buried somebody else because nobody was there. You don't want a story like that. You're like, wait, did you get it? No, all right, it doesn't matter. You want a story that will inspire, that will last generations. Somebody, a story that will affect somebody. You know, your story is intertwined with the story of the person next to you. Your story is intertwined with your brothers, with your sisters, with your moms, with your dads, with your aunts, with your uncles, with your cousins. Your story is intertwined with your coworkers, with your schoolmates, whoever it might be. Your story is interconnected, and your story affects the story of the person next to you. And it's a chain reaction. When you begin to live your story, your life, the way God has called you, let me tell you something. Your story begins to affect the person next to you. And that person begins to affect the person next to them. And that person begins to affect the person next to them. And all of a sudden, there's a fire that's like, it's like a firestorm, a forest fire that just erupts, started from a kindling, started from a spark. Now all of a sudden, there's a great and mighty fire. All because you were faithful to your story. You want to be inspired. You want to strive. To leave a legacy behind that will last generations, that will not die with you. You know, you always see those movies, those sports movies about some coach or some football team or something like that. And it was during the civil rights era, or it was during this, or it was during the start of a certain league or whatever. And this coach inspired the people, and he inspired. And then at the end of the life, you know, you see, remember the stories, like they're all the same. They all end the same. And it's like the game. So like the final game, and they won the championship, and the coach is like, and it goes into slow motion. It's like, and then the screen kind of blends or kind of like dissolves into like a, you can't see, it's all blurry. And then the text comes up, and he so-and-so went on to win the national title and be inducted into the NCAA or the NFL or whatever it is, Hall of Fame, blah, 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 blah. And on the day of his death, over 5,000 people attended their funeral. You've seen those movies. You know what I'm talking about. To leave a legacy behind. You know what? Let me tell you something, guys. You don't have to be a college coach to leave a legacy behind. You don't have to be, an MVP NBA coach to leave a legacy behind. You don't have to be a world-famous movie actor to have a legacy behind. You don't need to have that. What you need to do is affect the stories of the people next to you by being faithful, like we talked about, to number two, to understand that God is in control of your story, that you are not in control, that your past chapters don't affect the outcome, and to understand that your outcome should be an epic outcome. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, Paul, towards the end of his life, speaks to the church and he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. If there's an example of somebody who strove to live a legacy, to write a story, to tell a story of a life impacted, look at Paul the Apostle. Here at the end of his life, as he's in chains, you know, about to die, about to lose his life for his faith. Here he says, I have fought my fight. I have finished the race. I've kept my faith. I finished my story, and I see the end in sight. Look at the legacy here that we read 2,000 years later. We're still reading his writing. Some people consider Paul the Apostle to be one of the 6 greatest minds that have ever lived, because he lived a story, because he strived to have a legacy behind him, because he wasn't focused on, how many Twitter followers do I have right now, because that's going to change. He isn't focused on how many fans do I have on Facebook right now, because that changes. The focus is how will my legacy be for generations? Will people 2 generations from now know who I am? Will they see the impact of my life? Well, maybe they will, because you witnessed to somebody and you got that person saved, and now their family is saved. That's a generational story. Continuing on, last verse for tonight, Hebrews 12 chapter, verse number 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The finisher of our faith. The finisher of our faith. You and I have got to understand that God is the author. You and I are the pen. God is the finisher of our faith. And he has got a grand finale, a fireworks show, the last chapter. As somebody opens up the books of the days of our lives, not the drama, but the days of your lives. They read it at the end. They see, man, all this boom, 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 the fire, the word, the grand finale. Just, it's going nuts. And they're just sitting there with their, oh my gosh, this person left a legacy. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me leave you with this thought right here. Do you know what makes a good story? The Hollywood term we use is buzz. B-U-Z-Z, like a bee. Buzz. Buzz makes a good story. You know what buzz is? Buzz is when people talk about it. Oh my goodness, did you hear that? Oh, you got to see that. There was this movie that somebody was telling me about, all these, about this war movie. And they were like, and there was buzz about it. So so-and-so told so-and-so, and so-and-so told so-and-so, and they all went together, and then they told so-and-so, man, you got to see this. And that's buzz. People are talking about it. People are discussing it. People are thinking about it. That's what makes a good story. Why? Because it makes people think. That's why you see these blockbusters. Like this year, you got like, what is it, the Hunger Games. You know, you've got like the Batmans. You got all these different movies that they were just like buzzing all over the place. Why? Because it got people talking. It got people thinking. It got people discussing. It said, hey, man, you got to go see that movie, dude. It was the bomb. Buzz, to get people talking. You and I have got to strive in our lives to have buzz. Not the buzz of drama, not the buzz of, oh, how popular is that person, not the buzz of, oh, how successful is that person, not the buzz of, did you see that dude got so much money that he bought a Lamborghini? That's not buzz. Buzz is, man, did you see what that person did in their life? Did you see the legacy that they left behind? That generations after you and I have passed away, that our kids, that our children's are saying, man, there is still a buzz about this person. Thank you, Michael. Because you and I have got to strive to live a life that leaves a legacy for generations. I have one more quote for you. We'll finish on this. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, and when it's necessary, use words. You and I live the story. It's not about the words that come out of our mouth. It's not about what we say. Because like D.L. Moody said, 99 out of 100 people will read the Christian. They will read your story. They will hear your story. So understand that you and I are called to preach and teach the gospel. You say, Pastor Luke, I can't get up here and do that. I love that how St. Francis said it. Then when it's necessary, use words. Live your story with a legacy in mind. Live your story knowing that God, number one, is the author and you and I are the pen. Live your story knowing that yesterday's chapter, as your plot continues, that yesterday's chapters don't have to determine the end of your book, the end of your story. And number three, understand this, that you and I have got to strive to leave a legacy behind that will inspire generations. Did you guys get something out of the word of the Lord tonight? Praise God.